Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the nature of spirit, a true understanding of existence as it may be known. Listen as we discuss the possibilities of seeing the perfection of being and living in this truth. In this show, Swami will explain the ninth commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," from the perspective of divine consciousness. Forming thoughts and opinions is human ignorance and a limiting belief, thinking with spirit as spirit beings, the truth of divine harmony. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and experience the truth of being. So Swami, let's get started. Let's talk about the truth of being. What does that mean?
The truth of being is that we are human, made in the image and likeness of the divine, which really means that we're spirit, that we're not human at all. The more that we can understand ourselves as being spiritual. And I think the major clue is found in the word holy, the beauty of holiness. Because the spirit plane is exactly that. It is the unified state. It is unity consciousness. It is the dimension where everything is whole. And we are accustomed to living out of the testimony of our senses, which is duality. We're accustomed to living at an approximation of reality, but it's not true reality. And so moving from the perspective of the material means and sensual perception and human thinking into the realms of spiritual understanding is an upgrade. It affects us on so many different levels. But it starts with us starting to understand ourselves as spirit, as a whole person. And that's the meaning of the goal of yoga, which is total consciousness, that we want to move out from sensual perception into spiritual understanding.
Well, I like that phrase, spiritual understanding, because some of us may think that we know what God is, or we have a concept of God, but what do you feel is really proper spiritual understanding?
How do you troubleshoot what you're doing? And how do you know that you are living out from truth, from the one truth, from the true understanding of ourselves spiritually, or we're living out from a concept of truth, which is a human construction, and still falls under the heading of duality. And one of the best ways of doing that is to use the testimony of your senses to give you a clue as to what your level of consciousness really is. That if you are still living from human consciousness, then we will be still dealing with duality, which would be the pain, pleasure, control dramas of our corporeal experience. But if we are living out of a true sense of existence, if we are living out of a true sense of spirit, the law of spirit is the law of harmony. It is peace, love, happiness, and goodness. It is the law of perfection. Spirit delivers perfect creation, And so if there's any discord or there's any conflict, anything that isn't reflecting the qualities of divine law, then there's the clue that we have a belief in something other than truth, that we have a belief in something that is still falls under the law of karma, which is basically, it's the law of reciprocity. It is the law of the opposites and the law of manifestation. But spiritual law is different. Spiritual law is above material law. And rather than trying to fix things on a material level, if we really start to go to the cause and we move from a belief in two powers to a belief in the one power, the only power, this concept of the one true God, then we no longer have to deal with any discord, any conditions, or seemingly problems.
I like to also think about and contemplate what God is not. And as a matter of fact, I was just reading on this Facebook page from Infinite Way, and there's a quote in here I wanted to talk to you about. And this quote is entitled, "No Reward, No Punishment." And this is what was written. "The more you realize that God is not a rewarding God or a punishing God, but that the nature of God is infinite love and infinite wisdom, the clearer you will see that there is no need to tell God of your needs or to ask him to fulfill them." And I think that's really interesting because we've been talking a lot about the proper way to pray and that we don't pray for God for things. We have to believe in the supply that God gives us.
I think the idea of God as being rewarding and punishing is really more of a concept of God. It's more of a human construction, and it comes out of a belief in two powers. It comes out of the law of karma, and it's not really divine law, but it is the law of karma. The intention of religion is to get us out of the law of karma and into the law of spirit, which is the law of harmony. Like I had said earlier, it's moving out of a belief in two powers into a belief in the one power that really doesn't require anything because it's perfect harmony, because it's whole and it's complete. And so a lot of us, we're still living out of duality, which is the testimony of our senses. And we really don't have a real grasp on this concept of being holy, this concept of the beauty of holiness, the beauty of seeing life as perfect, complete, life that is just beyond time and space, life that is eternal and not limited, laws of matter. And a lot of it is just, it's not so much that we have to fix anything other than we have to recognize the way things really are. That we have to move from a human recreation back to the original divine creation of perfect harmony, perfect love, complete love. And for most of us, we don't have that level of understanding yet because we're still trying to figure things out from a limited understanding of ourselves. And a big part of the yoga process is separating from that limiting understanding and linking with divine law, linking with the presence of God, this concept of wholeness, completeness, holiness.
So how do we start living our lives with divine law, letting spirit take control of our lives?
Well, I have something here that was written by Joel Goldsmith that I really like using, and maybe I'll read that. This, I think, comes from a work that he wrote called the thunder of silence. Your principle is, only God is everywhere now. That's just five words. That's your underlying principle. Only God is everywhere now. And you can apply it against any problem in your life. Doesn't matter what it is. If you will stand in it, you'll discover you're not there. The problem isn't there. The lack isn't there. The limitation isn't there. Only God is there. And God is not the problem, the lack, or the limitation. The only problem there is that when you do that, you wonder where you are. And you'll find you're not going to disappear. You don't weigh any less. You don't look any different. You'll be standing there as a form just the same way you're there now. But you'll be free of that which we call your problem. Because once you know that only God is there now, God will appear. And this is in quotes, as your appearance. Free of the problem. That's a big part of how we can start to do this stuff with consciousness and how our perceiving of things and thinking, the concept of thinking with God as God, can start to offer us a better solution to just about anything that we're struggling or dealing with.
So I'm under the impression the first rule we should live by is just understanding that God is everywhere and in everything. We have to know that in the core of our being.
Right. And that's the truth, that once you acknowledge that and you hold your attention on that, that that will start to reveal itself to you. But oftentimes what happens is that we may have a false sense of God, that we may have a concept of God or an image of God that is dualistic, that it's not unity consciousness, that it's not the absolute, it's not the indivisible unified state. And the way it plays out, it's kind of like putting water in the gas tank of your car and wondering why it isn't working. Because the human to become spiritual can't run on things visible and tangible or things invisible and tangible. We can't run on duality because that's a belief in something other than God or holiness or wholeness or truth.
As I'm looking at that Facebook page again, The Infinite Way, I think I just want to recap. And there is something also by Joel Goldsmith here from I Stand on Holy Ground. And it says, since God is the substance of all creation, God made all that was made, and all that God made is good. God and his creation are one. Then he goes on to say, we cannot even go outside ourselves to find God, for God is our self, with a capital S. And I think that's a pretty powerful statement.
It's very powerful. But what we discover is we are not living out of that truth. And a lot of times, sometimes it seems like we declare the Christ, but we're still living out of the world. And how do we know that is because we are still experiencing sin, sickness, suffering. So as a result of this, we still have a belief in something other than God. And in order to correct that is that we must hold our attention on the truth, which God is just pure goodness. And that's all that we want to focus our attention on until it starts to reveal itself in our reality. And that's how Jesus did most of his healing.
Well, I think this is a pretty good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to talk more about the concept of God. If you can enlighten us as to what that looks like.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that you really don't want to have is a concept of God, because a concept of God is not demonstrable. All of the benefits that we read about that come with Almighty God, the recognition of the presence of God, has to be the one true God, and it can't be a concept of God. Because if it's a concept of God, it falls under the heading of human thought. And human thought really is limited to the amount of power it can have, and it's really based on human belief. It may be substantial to change some of the conditions of our personal mentality, but it's really not there to bring about a true sense of existence, to bring about this concept of enlightenment that we're talking about. How do you know that what you're doing is truth? And the only way that I've really been able to figure this out is what you're doing demonstrable? Is what you're doing, does it have the power of divine law? Meaning, is it able to demonstrate peace, love, happiness, goodness, perfect health? And if it's not, well, then it's really an internal adjustment that we have to make on a personal level. In the framework of doing this, I find that it, on a very personal level, that one of the things you want to look at is your personal sense of self does not want to give up the jurisdiction of yourself. And in order for us to move forward, in order for us to grow psychologically and spiritually, that's exactly what has to happen. And one of the things you're going to find is that your personal sense of self is not threatened by a concept of God. And so you're very comfortable. And if your idea or what you think God is not threatening to your sense of self, then chances are that it's not going to be demonstrable. But if your concept of God is frightening to your personal sense of self, then that's the one that I would choose. That I would say that is probably genuine. That is probably truth. And that you want to really work with that, because that is what will get you beyond your comfort zone. That is what will enable you to lift yourself out of duality and the law of karma. Because you really need a connection to the one true God. You need a connection to spirit to get the leverage to lift yourself out of the dualistic dimension and to get out of the instincts and the appetites that come with preservation and survival.
So if we look to our physical world for our supply, so we have to recognize the fact that we're doing that, but then just us thinking that we are one with God, and like we said last week on the radio show, I and the Father are one, how do we make that transition to know that we're really doing that spiritually, not just thinking that we are one with God?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just like what you said. You want to make sure that you're not looking for your supply from the physical world. You're not looking for things in the outside world to give you the indicator that I have a connection to spirit. You want to turn to spirit. And I really like what C.S. Lewis said, that aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. Aim for earth, you get neither. That first we must seek the kingdom of heaven. First we must find divine law. We must find the divine law of life within ourselves. And then from that, it will change the appearances. But if you try and do it from the appearances, you're trying to do it from effect. You're trying to do it from the outside world. And effect really has no power, doesn't have truth that backs it. It's not backed by the principle of divine law. And so what can happen is that whatever it is that you're using, you can lose it. So in other words, if you think it's your job, is where you get your supply, or you think you get your supply from a relationship or from an institution or from students or clients, then you kind of have everything reversed and it will fail. But if you understand that you work for divine law, that your supply comes from God, then doesn't matter what the appearance is. If you lose your job, if you lose clients, if whatever happens in the outside world, you know that it is backed by truth. It is backed by the invisible law of abundance, of supply. And so that's where you hold your focus. You don't ever want to try and do it from the external appearance of things, that you do it from this internal relationship that you develop with divine law.
So now what you're saying, is that what it means when in the Lord's Prayer, when we say on earth as it is in heaven?
Yeah, this is exactly what is meant by as above, so below. It all depends on our perspective of things, though. If we think with God as God, then the will of God becomes the reality of creation, and that is perfect creation, perfect harmony. What happens, though, is that on a human level, we have a belief in something other than God. And that creates an interference pattern. And it produces conditions that are abnormal or in conflict or discord with this divine law that is seeking expression. And so we experience things from the changing conditions of our personal mentality, and we miss the perfection of being that is coming from divine law. And all that really has to happen, though, is that we must let go of our beliefs. We must let go of our personal sense of I, and then live out from divine law. We must accept divine truth as our reality. And when we do that, then of course we come back to on earth as it is in heaven, that cause and effect become one. But there's in between that experience of that oneness, there is this intermediate phase in our understanding that we still live from karma. And that creates an interference pattern oftentimes. But if we have this belief in truth and we have an understanding of the perfection of being, then we let that be the cause. And of course, that will affect the appearances in our reality. That will affect the changes that we're trying to do. But we want to make sure that we do it from cause and not from effect, if that helps.
Yeah, it really does. I would like to ask you more to maybe explain about that ninth commandment that we had mentioned earlier in the summary, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I think we've been touching upon it a little bit, but could you enlighten us more on that?
Yeah, I think that's really important, this whole thing of to bear false witness against thy neighbor, is to see your neighbor in something less than the image and likeness of the divine. So in other words, to see the perfection of their being, their likeness to divine law. Now, oftentimes we hold witness to the behavior or the appearance of what is before us, and that's bearing false witness, to see somebody less than the image and likeness of the divine is a false witness. And that's an interesting thing to work from. So in other words, we trust the testimony of our senses, and that's what we typically live out from. But when we change our perspective and we live out from the kingdom of heaven, when we live out from divine law, which is the law of harmony, holiness, where there is no sin, sickness, suffering, death, that's a very different reality than if we live out from the testimony of our senses, where we see the imperfections, where we make these judgments, where we have our opinions. That is of our own ignorance. And it comes from our belief in two powers and not one. So when we're bearing false witness against somebody, basically we're seeing them from the perspective of two powers. We're seeing them from the law of karma and not from their true sense of being, which is the perfection of divine law.
So we have to be able to look at everyone, everything for that matter, as a manifestation of God and not in the appearance that they're showing to ourselves. I think I'm understanding that to be right.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really amazing about that is that the more we are accustomed to living out from that truth, then the greater the effect has on our reality. Because to see someone in the image and likeness of the divine enables them to see themselves out of that truth. And so that's how healing can actually happen.
So I think it's about that time we need to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, I'd like to invite you to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can make comments about this post or give us ideas for future shows you'd like us to do. But on that homepage, if you scroll about three quarters of the way down, you'll see Swami Says recent post, and there you can get access to a lot of other Blog Talk Radio shows there. But keep those comments coming. We enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll have another great radio show for you. Be sure to also listen in to our weekly Facebook Live episodes that air every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to start living out from their understanding of holiness, from the virtue of divine understanding, your divine nature. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.